Hey everyone, welcome back to But Why the Reviews. And today we are reviewing Jurassic World Dominion. I'm Kate, editor-in-chief of But Why Though, and the head of the film section over there. I'm here with CJ.
Hello everybody, my name is Collier Jings. You can call me CJ. I am a contributor to But Why Though, as well as other sites including Collider and IGN. And I also am the co-host of Into the Spider-Cast.
So happy to have you, CJ. And he reviewed this in full for us over at butwhythoughpodcast.com. You can head there, click in the links in the show note thingies, and read that too. And we're also here with Matt.
Hello, I'm Matt. I'm also at But Why Though. I do everything. I'm here to talk about dinosaurs.
He keeps our lights on and also loves dinosaurs. So to kick things off, I wanted to kind of talk about expectations that you all had going into Jurassic World Dominion. We can start with CJ.
Well, I was expecting a lot of interaction between the Jurassic World cast and the Jurassic Park alums, because again, it was the first time you had gotten Laura Dern and Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum together at once. I mean, they had been in other Jurassic Park films, but this is the first time they've all been together since the first Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I was also expecting bigger dinosaurs, because every Jurassic film has introduced a new dinosaur, and yeah, I was expecting bigger dinosaurs and people to get eaten. So yeah, bigger dinosaurs and interactions between old and new characters in the franchise was my big draw.
Matt?
I love two franchises, and that is Jurassic Park and the best franchise that is known as Mission Impossible. So I was in this regardless, even though this was going to be a tough one. I will say, like CJ said, bringing all the original cast back, I was very excited. One, to see them all together. Two, the other movies we've kind of, especially in the last two, they've kind of been half teased, but they have a moment like they're like, Jeff Goldblum Black back, and we saw him for like literally 3 seconds. I was a little hesitant, even though I knew I was going to go, because Fallen Kingdom is by far a terrible, 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 terrible movie. And I know all the Jurassic Parks outside the original aren't great, but that one was absurdly bad, because like I know what I show up for, and Fallen Kingdom was, I don't even know if I can even show up, but I knew I was going to be there, and here we are.
Yeah, and for me, I just wanted Laura Dern and Sam Neill. That is literally all I cared about. I mean, I am not one of the people who like hates the Jurassic World franchise. I think the first one is really, really cool and really fun, but like, I just care about Ellie and Alan. They're all I care about. They're like the golden standard of like couple that should be a couple, but I was eternally mad we're not. So I was really excited to see them together again. And also to see them with Ian, because their dynamic is something that is also just really great. It wasn't that I wasn't here for like Grady and whatever Bryce Dallas Howard's name is in this movie, but
Claire.
See, wasn't that I wasn't here for Grady and Claire, but I cared more about the OGs, and that I think should take us into.
I will say before we get in there, have you ever been? I remember in going to Jurassic Park 3, which is also, we can go back and forth, well, that's a good movie, but then kind of finally solidifying that, oh, they never got together was a terrifying moment as a child.
That made me very depressed.
My heart plummeted into my chest. This had my that movie had my favorite dinosaur of all time. It was overshadowed by the fact that they did not get together. That should tell you something.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it was a.
Because when anyway, you look back at Jurassic Park 3, it is just really, it's a really sad Sam Neill who's sad that he can't have a family with Ellie. Like that's the entire movie.
And he's on this stupid island trying to save this stupid kid with his, not a family of his. It's
And he has nightmares about talking raptors. The man is going through it.
Yes.
Going through it.
By himself. But anyway.
And I think that brings us into what our impressions were leaving the theater for Jurassic World. Do you all think it delivered on a lot of those pieces? I know going directly from that comment for me, and we're going to keep this pretty spoiler light. I think what I really liked about Jurassic World Dominion was that it directly confronts the whole Ellie and Alan belong to be together but weren't together. We know you're all really mad about it and sad about it, which is something I really appreciated. I think like I visibly put my hands together like this in a couple of moments, like now kiss, throughout the movie. So it did that really well. The dinosaurs are really cool. I walked out really happy. We didn't get to see it at a press screening, so we saw it like today, like one of the first screenings that we got, and I really enjoyed it. CJ,
it was a little bit of a mixed bag for me. At my press screening, it was kind of a packed house, so I kind of, there are moments where people were cheering where I was like, okay, this is cool, and there was one moment where I did cheer. I did like the interaction again of Goldblum, Dern, and Neil. They are like really drawing the big force between that and have like some of the best scenes. The dinosaurs are kind of hit and miss. The big dinosaur, Gigantosaurus, I was expecting more and I felt kind of let down by that. Mm-hmm. But there are plenty of dinosaurs and it feels really big and some things land and some things don't. So
yeah,
it's a mixed bag, but there are elements that are there, dinosaurs and the JP alums, I think will make people happy. Yeah. And I was pleased by those. So yeah.
And I think you're right though. It is very much, it's swaying for the fences. And I think there are some things that don't necessarily clear the fences. Matt, what did you think?
I mean, I got what I liked. It was 10 times, if not 100 times better than Fallen Kingdom. So automatically a plus. I really hate that movie. But no, I thought the original was good. I don't think the sequel, you know, the Claire and Cowboy Pratt, what the hell is his name?
Brady.
I refer to him as Dino Lord.
There you go. I don't know. But anyways, they're not bad. There's a lot I like about this movie. There's also some parts when you pick it up, when you kind of like start pulling apart the plot, I guess how they do this, it gets a little confusing. And as we said, kind of overstuffed. And I'm like, I don't know if it's overstuffed. It feels like it, but there's also like, it makes semi-sense. The dinosaur part, I think they're cool. I don't mind the Giga. Obviously, as a person who played Ark, knows the difference between the Giga and the T-Rex. All you gotta do is play Ark and you learn all these dinosaurs. It's great. You're on mute, by the way, talking.
I was like, I will say I love dinosaurs, but I didn't know what a Quetzal or a Giga was until I played Ark. And so now when I saw them in this film, I was like, oh my God, I know that. It's big. It's very big.
But I will say, leaving the theater, I was, got what I liked, excited, but I was a little let down in a sense, but that's kind of more, kind of with some of the direction, probably the tonal directions that some of this franchise is going with, which I think we'll talk about here in a, probably a little bit. But overall, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I want to say too, like, I actually think Athy and Wise were really good additions to the cast. Ramsey and Kayla, I really, really liked them, like, a lot. And I liked that Ramsey seems like he's the tech bro, but then you realize he's really just a chaotic little Malcolm, like, in, like, he's like the bridge between them. Like, he's more like Malcolm than he is our big tech overlord, which, as we go into like what the film does, the crux of this film is looking at Biosyn, which is our new corporate overlord, as the many that we have had in this franchise, who is now in control of relocating animals into a sanctuary and also running genome experiments to try and cure a variety of illnesses, except they may be connected to a worldwide famine and extinction level event that they may or may not have created. And Ellie and Alan may or may not have to be spies and capture DNA, which was like, I loved it. I loved that part. And all of that's happening while Grady and Claire are dealing with the fallout from Fallen Kingdom, which is this little clone girl who is now their daughter. And people hunting her. So those are kind of the two paths that eventually meet. We've kind of danced around it. I know, CJ, you mentioned that the dinosaurs could have been done better, and there were some things that you think could have been done better in the film. What do you think that this film could have like landed better, or just kind of fell flat?
I feel like it kind of could have integrated the plot lines better with like the runtime and how big everything is. It feels like there's two movies. We're following Grady, Claire, and clone girl, and the
Maisie.
Other
one, that's her name, Maisie.
Maisie, okay.
Is it Maisie?
It's Maisie.
Okay,
it's not Maisie.
It's okay. Maisie. I have it up right here. It's Maisie. I remembered because I was like, okay. Matt had a dog named Maisie.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, so you have Grady, Claire, and Maisie on one track, and Alan, Ellie, and Malcolm on another track. And obviously, the Ellie, Alan, and Malcolm track is more interesting because you get to learn more about what Biosyn is doing. Mm-hmm. And again, you have Athy there, and the Grady and Claire part doesn't really spring to life until Kayla shows up. And by the way, Kate, I do agree with you. DeWanda Wise is amazing as Kayla Watts, and I do find it ironic that in this, she's playing a hotshot pilot when she was originally supposed to be in Captain Marvel. I was like,
really?
Yes, she was supposed to be Maria Mambo, but things didn't work out, so yeah.
Well, now I'm saying, I really like her. Like, I like DeWanda Wise a lot. Like, I don't usually like tertiary characters, but she was good. Also, I would like her arm day routine, please.
Yes. Like, between Athi Wise and the return of Omar Sy as Grady's fellow trainer, I was like, I'd love to follow these people. But yeah, I also feel like Colin Trevorrow, I think like the one issue I've had with the Jurassic World trilogy is Colin Trevorrow kind of bringing up big ideas and not following through with them. Like the biggest idea from Jurassic, the Fall King I was expecting is dinosaurs are walking the earth. How do people react to that? And he's like, oh, here's, we'll just recap that in the opening issues. I'm like, dude, dinosaurs. What happens when raptors are running on the freeway? What happens if pterodactyls interrupt a flight? You have like a million things you could have done and you didn't pull the trigger on any of them, and so we get more of Clone Girl and stuff like that. But yeah,
well, isn't that is why kind I feel of, could have been done better. Isn't that kind of like the thread that we've been teased since the second Jurassic Park movie? Like, well, we're gonna see what happens with dinosaurs and humans, but we never really see it.
Well, the problem we get to be honest, is this has been a Jurassic Park flaw basically since right after the first one, as TJ kind of messaged on, of they always have these grand big ideas, and like if you actually follow their extended universe whatever between the books and all the other wild canon that nobody can figure out, there is a lot of like, which we, there's a ton of stuff in there, there's a ton of geneticist stuff, and it's pretty cool, but in the movies it's never actually fully there. It's just touched on like we saw all the other times. Now Biosyn's the big one. I can't even remember what the last one is because we had so many different ones.
I just remember T-Mobile Samsung sponsored them.
Yeah, but it's, the point is, the problem with all the movies is they have these cool little concepts that are kind of just sprinkled in there but never fully addressed, whether it's dinosaurs with humans or the full-on, you know, essentially geneticist problem of coming back. They kind of touch more on that one in this one, but
which I think is like one of the larger things that you end up seeing with like the story of Jurassic Park, and then just the trajectory that the series has had over like in Jurassic Park worlds. The problem is that everybody has gone away from the science and towards the spectacle. And that like leads to a lot of like the Jurassic World problems that you have reaching out of Jurassic Park. And then that's also one of the reasons why I think the films hit differently. Like nothing ever hits the same way Jurassic Park does. Because I think Jurassic Park was very focused on showcasing science, showcasing the way that you're integrating two worlds into one. And now they are just big blockbuster movies, which is fine, but it is different. So like both of you said, those big grand ideas kind of just take a back seat.
Which I guess kind of goes into the another problem that I've had with this franchise is kind of the, like I mentioned before, the tonal shift of like, We can go back and forth on whether Jurassic Park, the first one, is a horror movie, depending on who you talk to and how you feel.
Replicated it after slashers.
What?
The
T-Rex
is a slasher.
Whatever. But what you do miss in a lot of these later movies, and I don't know if they're necessarily quote-unquote kid-friendly movies, but they do lean into that more, in which, because it's funny because like, oh, we want all the people to get eaten. Jurassic Park, the franchise, even in the original movie, not a ton of people die. But what the first one does, outside of they always usually have at least one or two cool kills, which we lost after people lost their damn minds on the first Jurassic World because the coolest kill, which I'm we can talk about in a second. But the other thing that we're missing is they don't have like that tension, that constant fear of like either drama or scare thing of like at any moment you could have a dinosaur, and they kind of try to build these and replicate them, but the way they like bring it back, the either the camera views or the music and the sound they do it, just does not give you the same like scary feeling. And so they kind of give it in tonal, and then obviously the general kills, that there's no blood in this movie at all. There's no great anything. And the funny thing, it seems small, but it's a big thing that eats at me, is they don't even have the chomping bones part that used to be big when the dinosaurs ate somebody. And it sounds dumb, but the like just that feel of like, oh, you were, they're tearing through like flesh.
And I think that it was extra noticeable in this film, because some of the kills, and there are a lot of moments that are homage to the original film or homage to the original Jurassic Park trilogy, and there's so much of that done here that you can spot the differences where they're pulling the punches on them, particularly with the, they're not Dilos, but the frilly ones.
Yeah, the frilly ones,
the frilly acid spitty ones, those things,
those like, are Dilos.
Dilophosaurus. Compies are the little ones. Never mind. I was thinking about Compies. No, the Dilos. Well, even the kid Compie killing, like, was it two?
That's
the
great.
Compies eat the child.
That was Lost World.
Like those moments, that you have happened that show you like the real danger of the dinosaur. Like that, like you said, Matt, like that tension is pretty much gone. Like I felt relatively safe this entire film, with the exception of when they let Goldblum do the I'm gonna distract an apex predator with light thing. I was so happy, but then I was like, oh no, I remember what happened last time. Please don't die, Goldblum. But yeah, like it is one of those things where like I do worry. I was happy with what I got. Also because I think as we kind of pivot from what it could have done better, I think story-wise there were issues. I think you're right, CJ, the way they brought the two stories together was really hard. And I think especially because they understood the gems they had with Neil and Dern, that I think that they ended up giving them a lot of time, which then devalued Pratt and Howard, which was fine because I wanted them, but then they were so good that I did not care about anything else. Like you didn't make me buy into seeing everything come together. And that's not to say like they don't have great chemistry together. I actually really like seeing Grady interact with Alan because they're just completely opposite.
They're not completely
opposite. I think they're opposite.
How?
How are they not opposite?
I feel like in the moment
one is excited about dinosaurs,
corners them and they're like, don't move. Neil kind of feels a bit more commanding, like your eyes are merely a jaw to him.
Well, I also just see them differently as like Grady believes that dinosaurs are something you can talk to and control, and Alan will never believe that. Like he will never believe that. He yes, he puts his hand up to a raptor this movie, but that felt very out of character because Alan Grant does not think he can control a dinosaur.
We all saw three though, so that's
okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Honestly, three would be three times better movie if they got rid of that whole scene. But that's a different
That's a different podcast. But yes, as we move to stuff that like we think went well with the film, I actually really like the inclusion or like the explicit saying, oh, well, we made dinosaurs that are pure dinosaurs now. And so you get feather dinosaurs, like we have feathery meat eaters for the first time, like the feathery raptor. Like, and he's in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler. Like, getting to see that thing in water was dope. And that made me very, very happy. Like, the Giga, yeah, he was too close in size to the T-Rex. And I know why they did it, so they could fight. But I thought the Giga needed to be bigger. But the Feather Raptor.
He was bigger. I don't know.
Feather Raptor. Feather Raptor was great.
You didn't like Okay.
What, Matt?
Nothing. I wasn't going to say that one. That was a spoiler, more spoiler than not.
But yes, like, what did you all think, I guess, overall about the dinosaur choice in this film?
I genuinely liked the feathered dinosaurs, that they included some feathered dinosaurs as well as incorporating them into action sequences. There's like a whole sequence around the mid part of the movie that's kind of like a spy movie but with dinosaurs instead.
Yes.
And it's pretty awesome. Yeah. And one of the more suspenseful themes comes with another big dinosaur. And I think that was really well done with how the tension builds up and you're like, is somebody going to get eaten or not? And and it actually corrects one issue I had from the first world when they were like, we're going to make these in the military weapons. Like, how do you make a military weapon? And it was addressed here. I was like, oh, okay, that works.
That's how.
So yes, I like that the dinosaurs are used.
I think the dinosaur part is a little weak. I do enjoy like what we get, but obviously I think what we see, like that whole chase sequence, which we see in the trailer and thing through, I think it's France, right? Is that correct?
Malta.
My bad. I don't know. Omar Sy's French intelligence. So I was just like, you know what? That's fine. Anyways, I think that's actually really well done. I thought it was very good and enjoyable. Yeah. As far as the dinosaurs go, I enjoy what we get to see. We get to see a different array. We're seeing different plumages of all the creatures, which how we see the feathers, and not just the feathers, but the feather colors. The interaction between, we get a lot more like the natural interactions between them of just like, you know, they aren't just vicious. I mean, they are, but they're not. They're just like any other, like lions. Lions aren't just murdering every single thing they see, you know, that's smaller than them.
There's an order to it.
Yeah, there's an order, there's a process, there's a hierarchy and everything else. And we see a lot of that in this movie, which is good, which they've kind of done a little bit in the sequels of Cena whatsoever. I guess for me, I do want to talk about like the plotline stuff, because the genetics part of what they do, it's weird because it's done good and bad. Like the whole reason we need the stupid clone kid, that storyline to me is fascinating, but the problem is the only reason that story's there is because we have to bring the clone kid, which also gets the other people, because we really don't need her at all and throughout the whole movie. But obviously if we take her, then you have to get the sequel people, but then it's like a weaving way they do it. And I don't even know if this makes any sense because I'm talking to non-spoilers, but it is just, I enjoy the whole possibility of the famine plot line and what they do with the genetics of it. The problem has been it kind of like CJ said, they could be two different types of movies of like, you get away from the dinosaurs in that, which sucks, but from the other layer that does, and it is intriguing, interesting to me, and how they do perceive this, because as we get farther and farther in the real world, which is the whole thing about, you know, like the whole chaos thing, and that Jurassic Park's always been about, of like the futuristic of whether it is dinosaurs has always been the flashy part, but it has been at the end of the day groundbreaking science and what science can actually do from a genetical standpoint.
Yeah,
in which they touch on this. So it sucks because I like it, but it's weaved and weird. I don't know.
I will say the one thing I really appreciated for the takeaway from the film, I think especially in Jurassic World, science has been the boogeyman for the most part. I think everything after the first Jurassic Park, it is science is the boogeyman, and that's just it. It's uncontrolled, it's always awful, and that's what it is. And that's not the truth. Like, science is bad when wielded badly, but it can also be the fix to things. And I think, without spoilers, like, I think the fact that the third act of this movie is in, and that the fact that Ellie and Alan are scientists and not just like rant, like a corporate shill and a raptor trainer, help reset.
Hey, he is a mammologist or zoologist, okay? Which is just glorified.
Is he really into? I thought he was just.
He's an animal behaviorist, which is essentially just like a zoologist.
But wasn't he just in the Navy?
No, in the first movie they talk about
him. Maybe he said he was in the Navy.
Yeah, because he's trying to relate to the other Air Force thing. It's called the military bond they get, remember?
Anyway, he's not a paleobotanist and a paleontologist, so he's not a.
He's an animal behaviorist.
Back to my actual point of this whole thing is, you actually have scientists showcasing how you can wield science to fix something, and I think that's something that is really important, especially as we're in the, you know, flails hands at the fiery world right now. People continually push back against science. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way we've portrayed it in a lot of senses, and the way people have come to internalize what it can be and seen it as just this always bad boogeyman piece. And that's just not the case. And so I think the fact that you do get a little bit of balance in this film is something that I actually really appreciated as a takeaway. And it's really the only place that you could go with people like Ellie and Alan.
Which I guess for me, I don't know if we want to talk about, I don't personally like what they do with Dr. Wu's character in this movie. I understand
it's completely different. He's no longer.
I understand it and I get it of old, kind of what we see of old scientists trying to look back and.
They redeemed him. It was his redemption.
It was a half redeem and it's terrible.
Yeah, I feel like it could have been more fleshed out, which again kind of feels like how
Dr. Wu throughout this entire franchise.
Dr. Wu, okay, Dr. Wu has great dynamic character building in the Jurassic World video game where you build a park and he talks to you the whole time, not in this franchise ever, and it makes me so sad because I love that actor so much.
He's also done really well in Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, which
and all the backstory of, like I said, which is the problem we have with this entire franchise, is if you go read all the way to the books, the other stuff and the media built around it and the actual quote-unquote canon stuff, he is like the pinnacle part. The problem is if you watch the movies, you see him every about a minute and a half, every single movie, you just know he's a big bad scientist. You have no idea what the hell he does.
And at the end of every movie, he feels bad about what he just did.
It's just like, my guy, you think you would have learned about this the first time.
And then the next movie, he's back doing it again. Like, anyway, I guess, like, is there, real quickly, are there any other points that you think the film did really well? For me, it really is just the original trio. They were great. CJ?
Original trio, dinosaurs, and tertiary characters.
Matt. I would go with the original characters for the most part. I like Ramsay. Ramsay was great.
Ramsay was so good.
I didn't care about the pilot as much.
I am so sad Archive 81 got canceled now because Athey is such a great actor.
That's where he was from. I was like, I know I've seen this guy. Anyway, I didn't care about the pilot as much as you two did, but I loved Ramsay. He was great. And I was just like him. I will say I am glad in a weird way that they replaced Justice Smith and whoever the other annoying girl was from the last movie with
Daniela Pineda.
I hated them last movie, but I'm glad we got Ramsay.
They didn't get to do a lot.
They
did get to be whiny. Well, I think that's why I liked Kayla in this movie, because she's just I've seen it all. I'm gonna fly.
She's bad. I don't like her as much as you all do, but I love what they did with Ramsay, this whole entire thing, especially the way it plays out.
Yeah. Yeah. Ramsay is one to watch. So as he just said, tertiary characters. I think for me, this movie is like, as we kind of move into, like, if you're listening to this, we know that this was spoiler free. Pretty much spoiler free entirely. Like, there is a lot that happens here. It's a long movie, and I think for longtime fans of the franchise, this is something that you're gonna want to go see. Like, this is something that I think pays off for you, especially if you have that deep love for Ian Malcolm, Ellie Sattler, and Alan Grant. Like, that, like, it gives them a tribute that it needs. I do agree that it goes too big, and it could have actually been two separate films in a way, if I want to be entirely honest. But I think that if you love Jurassic Park, if you love Jurassic World, if you love dinosaurs and science, I actually think this is a really great blockbuster to see. CJ, what about you?
I feel that, yes, the original Jurassic Park trio is very great in this, as well as there's different types of dinosaurs. So I think if you love dinosaurs or you have an attachment to the original Jurassic Park, about half of this movie will be enough to draw you in, and you can ignore the less dicey parts. So worth the watch if you have a connection to the original Jurassic Park or if you love dinosaurs.
Yeah. Matt.
One, I already know people are going to watch this. If Fallen Kingdom can make like $1.3 billion, then I know people are going to show up for this movie.
It's completely sold out. All seven showings are completely sold out at our theater.
What I've learned, and the funny thing when it looks at box office numbers that are irrelevant in a lot of cases, that bang for buck, the Jurassic Park franchise is by far like the most successful bang for buck franchise when it comes to movies. Like, they're like in the top 10 highest grossing franchises, and they just now put out number 6. And that's not including number six money. So like whether people go watch it, sure, people are gonna watch it. It's got dinosaurs. If like I said, if you are a fan of the originals, you're gonna, I mean the original trio, you're gonna wanna see that, even if there is a bunch of like, I don't care, because you're gonna get stuff that you just, it pays off.
It pays off so well.
And as I said, you waited 25 or whatever, 20, 30, is it 20?
30 years.
I kept wanting to say 20, 30 years, you know, you're gonna finally see the conclusion. I mean, sure, watch it, go for it. There is, I guess, I do want to go for, right before we end up, what do you think we're getting next? Because I know they're not
ending here.
I mean, are you excited for it? Because I kind of am, to be honest. I shouldn't be, but I am.
I feel like at this point, the only thing you can do is the one rejected Jurassic Park 4 where they mutated humans and dinosaurs together, because again, keep with them. That's the only thing I could see happening. It would keep with the tradition of what ungodly monstrosity has science kept up this time and would be a new challenge for people to face.
Because I know they said this is the last one of the quote unquote Jurassic era, which means we're going into full-fledged they coexist era.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I am looking forward to finally seeing this franchise tackle what it means to coexist, because that's something that is sidestepped and avoided. I think that if they are down, I want to see Ellie and Alan. Like, I think that's the hard thing, right? Like, I am all for franchises changing hands or whatever, especially when it's been years and an actor doesn't want to come back. But there is a magic in the Jurassic Park franchise, specifically when you're looking at it through the lens of a scientist, like somebody who is, how do I explain it? So like throughout this film, Ellie and Grant keep telling each other, yeah, you never get used to it. You never, every time they interact with the dinosaur, you never get used to it. And I think that that wonder and awe that you get from somebody in their position who still has a reverence for like the beauty and the grandeur that is a dinosaur from their perspective, it is what makes the film and the story have more weight than somebody who's like, I've monetized them. They are just this thing that makes money. Which
they're
is
an IP, okay?
They're an IP. as it gets said. Like, and I think that that is where Jurassic World went, which is purposeful because it was the whole capitalism and science and dinosaurs, whatever. But like, I think that if they don't go with Ellie and Alan, it has to be from the perspective of scientists who respect them.
I don't see the sad part is I think it's been too long, and I think like we got, this is the end of their chapters, we know.
Yeah,
I expect the full next one's going to be probably 50 to 60. I wouldn't be surprised if they do like 60 years ahead and they're long gone.
It's time
just to one just to get rid of them, but two because like thing. And I think that's what sucks, is because, and maybe that, like you said, of like the awe, and that's what's the problem with some franchises and probably this one thing of the awe of like, oh my gosh, dinosaurs, is about gone out of this.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to move on to the next phase of what they do with everything, of like, they're natural. Like, we see it in all the, I mean, you can even argue the MCU went from, oh, they're superheroes, to now they're custom. And the same thing with, oh, they're dinosaurs, to now they're custom and what they do forward. And it does lose a lot of the like spark or whatever, the fascination of with it, because it's just, oh, congratulations, there's another dinosaur outside.
I think they have to find a way to capture the magic again.
Exactly. Yeah.
CJ, what about you?
Yeah, whatever comes next, you gotta find a way to recapture it, because like again, trying to jump a franchise is sometimes you get Star Wars The Force Awakens, other times you get Ghostbusters Afterlife. And yeah, whatever happens, you gotta actually deliver on the promise that the films have done. Showcase people living with dinosaurs. Showcase somebody who's not cool with that. Showcase scientists actually doing science for the betterment of mankind and not its absolute downfall. Like, find a new angle in which to attack it.
Yeah.
Also, make sure that whatever you do, your second movie is good, because whether it's whether it ends up being The Force Awakens to The Last Jedi, or if it goes from Lost World to or Jurassic World to Fallen Kingdom, they're both terrible.
Yes. I will say, I would like to see Mike Doherty do a Jurassic World movie.
Yes.
That's who, or a Jurassic Park themed movie.
Yes, the only thing I'm worried about is
monsters.
So well, we have King of Monsters, but it is very much what we have. At what point is Camp Cretaceous what we're going to eventually start getting?
I love Camp Cretaceous.
I do too, but it is very much of like, we are moving very away from like dinosaurs eating people. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like the children of it. But again, that's why I said my ideal director is Michael Dougherty, who did The King of Monsters and is the best Godzilla movie or modern Godzilla movie. Because it recaptured the grandeur of the kaiju. It showed scale of what they were. And I think that like that man understands that capturing awe in a different way. And I think that that is what you can do, even if you're looking at a world where dinosaurs are super integrated into everything.
Exactly. Also, Trick or Treat and Krampus shows he has a wicked streak, so I would expect some great.
Oh yeah, him. He would kill kids in his movies. He has, uh-huh. He has killed kids in his movies.
Yeah, but the Latin with the end. Never mind. We'll wrap up.
Anyway, we're at time. Thank you all for watching our review, Jurassic World Dominion. It's in theaters now. You can find me at Oma Mithrandir on Twitter, and you can find But Why Though at But Why Though PC on everything. Join our Discord, discord.gg/butwhyto, and talk to us about movies. We're accessible there. CJ, tell people where they can find you.
I am on Twitter at CJ Writes Things, on Instagram at CJ Writes Stuff. If you Google my name, you'll probably find a list of pieces I've written, again, Collider, Slash Film, IGN, and you can also see my work, written work on But Why Though, as well as episodes of Into the Spirecast.
Matt?
I'm going to go watch the Mission Impossible trailer again to get ready for the best franchise, even though we have a year, because Jurassic Park is done now. So now I got to get prepped.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.